This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It is opening day eve. Welcome into the program of Graybar Sports Open Line. We come your way. We're all over the place. We're, of course, on 104.1 FM KMOX, third day of our FM era, I guess you could say, our 104.1 FM era. We're still broadcasting on 1120 AM. You don't have to worry about that. We're available to you on the Odyssey app, which is a great way to listen. I was saying I was, had the rental car that had the Apple CarPlay and everything the other day when I drove to and from Memphis. So I just threw KMOX on the Odyssey app and ran it through. It was fantastic. So that's a great way to take in the station. And for those of you who are around a phone or around a computer and you want to see what this whole thing looks like, you can always stream the show by watching it. And we're available on Facebook, on Twitter, wherever you might want to go find it. That's where we are from a video standpoint. And we would certainly encourage you YouTube folks to follow and like us and subscribe at KMOX Sports. That just means, you know, it's 12 noon. Gas House Gang is coming on. Guess what? You get a notification. 5 o'clock, Redbird Rush Hour coming on. Guess what? You get a notification. I was over at Busch Stadium today, by the way. The Cardinals held a workout, and we got into our downstairs studio where we do the pregame and the postgame show. And I was very happy to see that we've got cameras and everything set up there. So I think we're going to at least try it out. We'll see what it looks like. You know, we get done when it comes to Cardinals Radio Network. We wrap things up on the network, and then we get into the Extra Inning Show, which is our local postgame show. That's where we take phone calls and text messages and tweets and all those sort of things. I think we're going to do that on the video stream as well. So you'll have an opportunity to take that in and have an immediate reaction to what just happened over the previous few hours. For those of you who want to interact with us but you're not watching and you want to call or text or tweet or leave a voice message, All of those things are available to you. You can call or text at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or you leave the voicemail message on the Odyssey app. If that's where you're listening, you see kind of right next to the listen icon, there's a leave a voice message icon. You just do that, and you click it, and you leave a voice message, and boom, it comes right into the studio. Here's what I want, and we'll see if this works or not. It may not. It might be a little bit too much of an ask, but this is what I'd be curious on. I'm going to throw this topic out there, and we'll see if we get much interaction on it. I would like to know three things from you. So especially if you're texting, this is probably best for text and tweet. So text in at 314-436-7900 or tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air, and we'll revisit this coming up later on in the program. I want to know from you three things. The thing that you're very sure of is going to happen to the Cardinals this year from a positive standpoint, the thing that you're very sure of from a negative standpoint, and the thing that you're kind of most interested in or most on the fence on, that if you don't know if something's going to play out. So as an example, maybe you're very sure that Wilson Contreras is going to have a fantastic season, and you're also very sure that Victor Scott II is going to not be able to continue what he did in spring training, but you're curious to see whether or not Lars Nootbaar can stay healthy to be an impact player. So that would be an example of the thing that you are most sure of from a positive standpoint, most sure of from a negative standpoint, and the thing that you are most on the fence on. So if you want to, I'm asking a lot of you, I understand that. So hopefully some of you are into this. Text it in, 314. And this is a bad job by me, by the way, because I always talk about our horrible texting system and how if you can leave short text messages, that's the best possible thing, because we get them in like 140 character bunches. And when they come into our texting thing, they're in different orders. So long texts are incredibly challenging to read. So I'm always asking you for short text. And now what do? I talk out of the other side of my mouth and I say, I want this big elaborate thing of, But here I am. I'm going to do it nonetheless. So thing you're most sure of positive, thing you're most sure of negative, thing that you're most on the fence on leading into opening day coming up tomorrow. We've got a lot on the program today. In about 7 minutes, we are going to be joined by Bernie Miklas. It's our weekly conversation with him. We'll see where he's at leading into opening day and what he is thinking about. Maybe we'll even ask him those three things. Later on in the hour, Chip Carey is going to be with us, the TV voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. He's going to be with us at about 6:35 in the next hour. At 7:20, former Cardinals pitcher, now the host of the Chatter's Box podcast, is Kyle McClellan. He is going to join us at about 7:20. So we've got a lot coming up on this edition of the program. I'm not just trying to be like Captain Rah-Rah here. That's not what I'm doing. But I gotta tell you, I love opening day. That's not a unique take by me. There's a lot of people in St. Louis who love opening day. This is the day where you're going to get from me just a bundle of positivity, because I'm just so ready for the baseball season to get started. It feels so long ago that spring training got started. It was the day after the Super Bowl that pitchers and catchers reported. Spring training is so long. And it feels even longer ago that the regular season ended last year. This was a long off season. It just felt like it dragged and dragged and dragged. And part of that is the fact the Cardinals didn't do anything. It was a boring offseason. It was the most boring Cardinals offseason we have had in a really, really long time. And the only thing that the Cardinals even did doesn't even happen in the offseason. It happens very late in spring training when they bring in Phil Maton. So I'm glad for games to be played. I'm glad for games to matter. I tweeted out a picture. I was over at Busch Stadium for the workout today, and you know, nothing really to report on that. So I tweeted out a picture of Busch Stadium, and you know, obviously people are going to enjoy that. And somebody tweeted back at me, "You'll be lucky to see the home team win 30 games there all year long." And I don't think that's right. I just don't. I don't know how good this team is going to be. I don't know if this team is going to be a team that can contend for a division championship, because I don't think if they're not contending for a division championship, I don't think they're likely to contend for a playoff spot. The National League just has way too many really good teams, although I could be wrong on that. There's going to be some teams that we have high expectations of this year that don't quite do what we expect them to do. So maybe that race for the final wild card spot or final two wild card spots is going to be more up in the air than I'm giving it credit for here at the moment. But I continue to stand by the fact that the Cardinals were an 83-win team last year that came in second place in the division. It was disappointing because they weren't a playoff team, but they were not terrible. They were not a bad team. They were, by dictionary definition, a winning team. And not a whole lot has changed from last year to this year. And you can certainly see the guys who could take steps forward. I don't understand the extreme negativity. I understand the negativity in the sense that they're not a compelling team, that they're not a legitimate World Series contender, like all those things. Yeah, I get it. And if that's why you're upset about what's going on, I can't argue with you. But if you sit here and think that this team's going to win 70 games and be in last place, and even the Pirates are going to be better, I just strongly disagree with that. And that's not the bar for the St. Louis Cardinals. I get that. But the fact that so many people are basically projecting it to look that way, I just don't totally get it. All right, Bernie Miklas is going to join us in just a moment or so. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line. Back with more in a moment on KMOX. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX on opening day eve. We're about to talk with Bernie Miklas. Our conversations with him always being brought to you by Saliga Heating and Air. We're very happy to welcome him. Of course, he's now part of the team. He's all over the place. He is busy. He's part of the team with Sports Hub. He's part of the Cards. Oh, I'm going to mess it up. The Cards Talk with Katie Wood. Bernie, what's the name of the pod? Intentional Talk Network. I'm going to mess this up.
No, that's I don't blame you, man, because I'm all over the place. Yeah. For some reason, at age 66, people keep offering me work. I'm very grateful. But no, I love Katie Wu and her work, and she's a gem to deal with and work with. And yeah, it's Cardinal territory.
That's right.
I do a video with her twice a week. There was a new one came out today.
Awesome. And you guys talk about cats sometimes.
One time, anyway. Yeah, yes. I didn't realize she was a cat person. So
there you go.
I have that. We have something else we can be silly about when we get off the baseball topic.
Not to be all fluffy here, but what does opening day in St. Louis, whether the team is good or not, is such a special day. You've covered so many of these. You've been around St. Louis baseball for so long. What are kind of your emotional feels that go along with Cardinals opening day?
Man, I have a very simple policy. I don't care how good or bad or mediocre the team was the year before. Opening day in St. Louis is a standalone day where nothing in terms of results that happened before it counts. Nothing that will happen after it that season counts. It is a St. Louis holiday. It is a incredible tradition. It is meaningful. It is, dare I say, spiritual. It connects every segment of the greater St. Louis area population. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter what your heritage is, your race is, your gender is, where you go to church, where you live in the, you know, somewhere in the area. None of that matters. We are all St. Louis Cardinals fans and we are united.
And as somebody for me, I grew up in St. Louis and going to opening day every year with my mom. Like, it's just, I get all the feels when it's the leading into opening day. So I'm excited to see everything that's going to be happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
Bernie, I'm throwing these questions to listeners today. So let me throw it at you. It's kind of a three-part question. Thing going into the season that you're most sure of that's positive for the Cardinals, things that you're most sure of that's negative for the Cardinals, and then the thing that you're maybe most on the fence on and you're interested to see how it plays out.
The most positive things. Am I allowed to mention a couple of players?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. The most positive things I think I'm feeling about this team is that I think Wilson Contreras is going to have a really big season. I think Lars Nootbaar is going to have a really big season. And on the negative side, I wonder about the starting rotation. Maybe it's because not entirely sure about Sonny Gray, whether he's starting to lose it a little bit at his age. So I have some real concerns there. And I'm on the fence about a lot of things. And I think most of us are. I'm on the fence with Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman and any number of things we can mention. you know, I would also, and I know I'm rambling, but I would also still feel pretty good about the bullpen. I think it's unfair to expect them to be as great as they were last year, but I still think it'll be a strong bullpen.
For me, I'm really curious. You mentioned Nolan Gorman. I like the lineup that Oliver Marmol wrote out against Memphis the other night, and all indications are that's going to kind of be the base lineup. But something has happened where Gorman has gone from having a clear runway to all of a sudden being kind of the 10th guy. He's behind the depth chart, behind Alec Burleson. And that he'll still, guys, Nolan Arenado needs a day off. Brendan Donovan needs a day off. Lars Nootbaar needs a day off to keep him out. There's a lot of guys who are going to get days off, and Gorman's going to be able to slot right in. But I'm very curious if they're going to find that runway for Nolan Gorman this year.
Well, that's a great question. It's maybe it's certainly one of the biggest questions of the season. Look, I want to throw a number. I want to throw a couple numbers in here if you give me a minute. But first, let me just say this. You know, Nolan Gorman did a lot of work in the offseason, and you know that's a good thing. But then he gets to spring training, or I should say, when he's working with Brant Brown, all of a sudden, you know, kind of the stuff that he worked on wasn't really to his benefit. So now he sort of had to start over again with Brant Brown, which he has. So he's kind of a little messed up. And I think his swing's kind of just being rebuilt again. And I know that's really, really frustrating. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just kind of just laying it out there for what it is. So he has to sort of start over. And I think Ollie Marmol was correct in going with Burleson, you know, especially after last year and especially after this spring. But let me tell you something, if I could, because I was just working on this, I swear, about 5 minutes before I came in. In Nolan Gorman's first 1,085 Major League plate appearances, that covers 22, 23, and the first 2 months of 2024, he ranked fifth among left-handed National League hitters with 58 homers, and he was 11th in slugging percentage. So that's based on 1,000 plate appearances minimum. But the point is, we're talking about nearly 1,100 plate appearances. He put up those kind of numbers. He was one of the best power hitters among left-handed batters in the National League. Okay, last year, his final 200 plate appearances, absolutely horrible. That's all you have to say. But as we look at him, do we judge him on nearly 1,100 plate appearances, or do we base everything on 200 plate appearances? I know what the smart answer is. I don't know that other people do. You don't cast this guy aside when he's still 24 years old, and he has shown massive power in an organization that doesn't have much of it.
It's interesting, Bernie, because there is a contingent of fans who just hate strikeouts so much that Gorman has to be that 30 to 40 home run guy to be accepted by those people, because you say everything sure that you just said, and you're right, but he's almost behind the eight ball to a contingent of the fan base, simply because even when he's going good, he's still going to strike out a ton.
Well, that's right. And, you know, it's up to him to make sure that his strikeout total is down somewhat. It can't be as outrageously bad as it was over the final 4 months last season, over 40%. That's no good. But if he can be around 28, 29%, even 30%, as long as he's hitting a lot of bombs and hitting for a big load of power, every single manager in baseball would make that trade-off.
Yep, 100%. You mentioned Sonny Gray, and I think we may differ a little bit, because I think a month down the line, 6 weeks down the line, he's going to be fine. Even if the velocity's not all the way back, he's going to figure out what he needs to do. But as it sits right now, and as it sits as him being the opening day starter tomorrow and just seeing the velocity, you know, significantly down, 4 or 5 miles per hour off the fastball, he was a little bit banged up at the end of the season last year, so his offseason started a little later, so he was not where everybody else was at the beginning of spring. Then he dealt with that illness late in spring. That slowed him down a little bit. It just feels like there is the possibility, and maybe this is going to sound like silly talk when I'm talking 24 hours from now during the post game, but right now it feels like there's legitimate reasons to be concerned on how Gray is going to start this season.
No, I totally agree with you. And actually, I think you and I agree. I mean, I'm concerned right now, and I think it's okay. I think it's reasonable to be concerned, because one of the things is, you know, Sonny Gray did some great things last year. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he had 30% strikeout rate, highest in franchise history by a starter. He actually, in terms of wins above replacement, he was like a top 10 major league starter or National League starter, I should say. You know, he did a lot of good things. But number one, his fastball velocity was down by a mile an hour last year, which makes a difference. Number two, his sweeper, while really good, it wasn't as great as it was in 2023 when he finished second in the Cy Young Award in the American League. And so if you take his fastball velocity down by another tick, and maybe hitters have figured out, you know, some of the movement on his sweeper. And also, I do think it was an outlier, but on the road last year, I mean, he just got destroyed by home runs. So he's got some questions to answer with his pitching performance. I think that's all that you're saying and I'm saying. Yeah. I think we can all agree. Reasonable minds can agree on that.
I'm concerned about Andre Pallante, too. And it comes, I'm not trying to just be velo, yeah, velo, velo, but we're not talking about it. Against Memphis the other day, he sat 95, 96 in the first inning or two, and then he settled in at 92, 93. And that's where he has been for most of spring. And I feel like he gives himself the best opportunity to be successful when he's closer to those mid-90s.
You're 100% right, and I agree with you. And you know me, man, I don't tend to freak out about spring training stats. However, when a guy is still trying to establish himself as a good major league starter, he was very good last season when they put him in there. You know, he's not a big strikeout guy, punch out guy anyway. So you take a couple miles an hour off that fastball, maybe 3 miles an hour off that fastball, depending on, you know, where he is on a certain start. He's really vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Now, if he keeps the ball down, he'll get a lot of ground balls. So there's ways for him to get hitters out. But pitching a little bit up in the zone if his location's off, it's not a good recipe, not a good formula for him keeping the hitters in the ballpark. Because one thing Pallante did last year, he had one of the lowest home run rates, allowed by a starting pitcher in the National League.
Yeah. 100%. Bernie, we always appreciate your time. Remind folks that, again, your personal videos are now part of the Sports Hub Network. You're on with Cardinals Territory with Katie Wu. You're part of the Gas House Gang. You're part of Redbird Rush Hour. You're part of Sports Open Line. And, of course, you wouldn't be here without the great folks over at Saliga Heating and Cooling.
That's right. And I am going to promote sportshubstl.com. You'll find my columns and videos there. I'm writing a lot again. And also, thanks for letting me mention Cardinals Territory. And I just want to reiterate, I am privileged to work for KMOX. So I'm loving it and working with all of you. Anyway, Saliga Heating and Cooling has been serving St. Louis since 1927. This independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer has been taking care of the Miklas family for 16 years. And I love the fact that the Saliga family has continuously owned this business since 1927. Dan Saliga is doing a fantastic job upholding the high standards of the family business, very proud family business. So they can take care of everything you have as far as heating and cooling, plus some other things like indoor air quality, things like that. They also have a maintenance program we're members of, and I would highly recommend it. It's called the Maintenance Club. Excuse me. It's called the Priority Club. And the beauty about this, they come out twice a year. They check your system before the cold weather, before the warm weather, make sure everything's functioning the way it should. And they'll adjust what needs to be adjusted. That prevents perhaps a mishap later. If there's a minor problem, they'll fix it, and it's inexpensive to do so. Instead of letting it go on, and then all of a sudden you have a really big expensive problem. You can always trust their honesty. Always trust their honesty and professionalism. That's been our experience 100%. They don't try to hustle you. Don't try to talk you into stuff you don't need. In fact, in our experience, they try to find cheaper solutions for us that work just as well. So anyway, go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com and check out this American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer, and you'll see the phone number there. Go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. Thank you all very much.
The Bernie Miklas Report is sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer.
It's Grid Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Very happy to welcome on to the show. He is the television voice of the St. Louis Cardinals on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. He is Chip Carey. Chip, appreciate the time. Happy day before opening day.
Yeah, happy new year, Matt. It's always an exciting time. Can't wait to get started, man. It's going to be a blast.
What does opening day in St. Louis mean for you?
Oh, man, it's so cool being from here. I've said this story a couple of times. 2 years ago was the first time I'd ever been to opening day live and in person. And I'm now an older person. I'm 60. And so this is my third one. And I still get that 12-year-old kid excitement, you know, seeing the Hall of Famers and the Clydesdales and a sold-out ballpark. And then, of course, these young guys in uniform coming out, getting introduced and getting a standing ovation as they start this uncharted journey that we're about to begin. It's a special day. It's a great day of civic pride, quite obviously. And to get to see that and have a front row seat like I do is every year a thrill of a lifetime.
Yeah, it's always really cool for the young guys getting their first chance at opening day. And you start hearing the conversations during spring training, guys who may be getting an idea they're going to make the opening day roster. They're asking questions. Is there actually Clydesdales? Is there actually trucks that you jump off of? It's something that if you haven't been around it and seen it, a lot of people don't totally understand the importance of it and the uniqueness of it.
Yeah, and I was one of those. Again, 3 years ago, I'm here for the first time, and I'm seeing fans in the stands crying when the Clydesdales come around and crying when Whitey Herzog, Lord rest his soul, got out of his convertible and made his way to home plate. I mean, that's what makes this place so special is for one day, our entire Cardinals community can be a 13-year-old kid again, falling in love with the sport for the first time. And to see that unfold every day on opening day here in St. Louis is one of the best experiences in sports, and hopefully we'll put on a good show after the opening ceremonies against the Twins.
It feels like a really long time ago that pitchers and catchers reported spring training goes on for quite some time. What was your general takeaway or your general feeling about how spring training went and where this team is at going into opening day?
Well, I think they were going in trying to answer a couple of questions, right? Could Contreras play first base? Was Arenado going to be here, yes or no? And how we're going to divvy up playing time between Newt Barr and Donovan and Burleson and Gorman. I think those answers, to a certain degree, have been answered. And a lot of that was due to performance and circumstance. One of the surprises was that Victor Scott won the center field job so commandingly, I think. He did a great job, and he'll be out there on opening day against the Twins. That's going to be fun. Matthew Liberatore getting into the rotation instead of Steven Matz. I don't know that anybody particularly saw that coming because both guys had great springs, and Matthew was so good in the bullpen last year. But look, it's time to find out what these guys are and what these guys aren't. And for me, Matt, this season comes down to, besides the wins and losses and hopefully playoff baseball, the Cardinals got to find out what Gorman is, what Walker is, what Newt Barr is, what Liberatore is, and go from there. And once we have some more solid answers to those questions, I think we can all feel a little bit more confident in the direction that the Cardinals appear to be headed.
Are you intrigued with how they're going to find Gorman at bats? We saw that lineup in Memphis the other day, and Oliver Marmol kind of indicated that's likely to be the opening day lineup, and it feels like Alec Burleson is kind of in that spot to be a DH a lot, and that means Gorman is sort of the 10th guy right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, and you know, the spring performance sort of dictated that, right? I mean, it is a performance-based business, but yeah, I mean, that's a real challenge, and that's the complication of Nolan Arenado still being here. Were that not the case, you'd have Gorman at third base, and we wouldn't even be having this discussion. That said, Arenado looks great. His mind's apparently in a great spot. He wants to lead. He wants to have a big year, and I can promise you this, a motivated Nolan Arenado is a really, really good thing if he's on your team, and I think the Cardinals going into opening day like the fact that he's in a really good headspace, and hopefully the big numbers will follow.
Chip Carey, the TV voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, continuing to join us here on a Graybar Sports Open Line. You mentioned Victor Scott II earlier. Some people have compared this spring to last year's spring. It had a great spring last year, but Chip, it's different this year. I mean, he's hitting home runs. He's hit a bunch of doubles. It's the extra bases. It's the exit velocity. It feels like he's really evolved as a hitter based off what we've seen.
And you want to reward players who do exactly that. You're right. I talked to Victor in spring training, and I said, what's different? He said, you know, last year opening day, I was sort of thrust into it. I was just happy to be there. Remember, Newt Barr got hurt, and the Cardinals didn't have a center fielder, so he was the next man up, and it didn't go well for him. He wasn't ready for that opportunity. And he said, I went down, did my work, approached it this offseason, where there's a little bit of anger about me, and not anger at the situation, but anger that I can do this. I want to be good at this, and I'm putting in the work to be successful or as successful as I possibly can. And I think that kind of focus, that kind of commitment is something that's going to make a big difference for Victor because it won't all be new to him. The talent's there, but he's another one of the Cardinals that's getting every opportunity to show what he can do at this level. And if he clicks, man, he's going to be a lot of fun to watch for sure.
Certainly there were some individuals like Victor who had good offensive springs, but as a team, they struggled. How much stock do you put in those overall spring training offensive numbers?
Can I let you know after a couple of weeks? guys are working on stuff and trying to get their timing. I don't think you pay a whole lot of stock in that. I mean, to your point earlier about Victor Scott, right? The old saying in baseball is don't believe what you see in September and don't believe what you see in March. And there's some truth to that, because pitchers are working on stuff, hitters are working on stuff, and you're not seeing the elite guys you're going to see night in and night out in a major league contest or in a major league schedule. So, you know, you have to take everything with a grain of salt, but I think you're just looking for overall trajectory. Our guys beginning to peak and feel good about their timing, their swings, and then go out and let the natural talent take over. And after 2 weeks, we'll have a much better idea.
Sonny Gray, his velocity numbers haven't been great. He got a little bit of a slow start to his offseason, dealing with some health stuff. He's had some illness here. He's talked about, hey, if he doesn't have velocity, he'll still find a way to go out there and pitch. Are you intrigued by what we're going to see, maybe especially over the first month from Sonny Gray, where he might not have his full arsenal available?
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate question, and I don't think we'll know the answer to that. Look, Sonny knows himself better than anybody, and he said it again in this spring commentary. He said, look, I've had great springs and terrible seasons, and I've had terrible springs and great years. We just don't know. But Sonny's been around long enough to know how to pitch without his best stuff. You don't win 111 games without doing that from time to time, and I think the Cardinals feel very confident that he's going to be able to do that. If he can't, then you've got a good bullpen to be able to back him up, and Steven Matz is stretched out and ready to go if he needs to come in and get in the game in the early innings. Hopefully that won't be the case, and I look for Sonny to rise to the occasion. He loves to pitch against the Twins, and he loves to pitch on opening day, where he's had a good deal of success. So should be a lot of fun. If nothing else, it'll be interesting for sure.
It's completely and totally cliched when you talk about a team being counted out and everybody wants to, you know, respond to that in the bulletin board material or whatever. But to me, it felt like there was something with this group this year where they didn't care about those external expectations. They are out to prove something. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. You know, at the workout, I was asking guys, you know, what are we? I think that's the one question that Cardinals fans have, right? Years past, you knew what the Cardinals were. We've got Albert. We've got Yachty. We've got Waino. We've got Carpenter. Oh, we have Vince and Willie, and we're going to steal a million bases. And we've got Ozzie Smith, and we've got Bruce Sutter. There are so many younger players on this team that are going to be doing different things for the Cardinals, that there's a sense of uncertainty. And by uncertainty, it's not that they're not talented. They are. They're exceptionally talented. But what are we going to see? What is the description of this team? And I've heard misfits. I've heard grinders. I've heard youthful underdogs. All of those things play into the fact that nobody outside of St. Louis or the Cardinals clubhouse thinks this team has much of a chance to make noise in the division. And I can promise you, there's not a man in uniform that feels that that's the case. This is a group of guys that's really motivated to build upon the improvements they made from 2 years ago to last year. And this is their chance to shine, right? This is the future of your team. There isn't a Goldschmidt. Arenado's, you know, toward the end. There's no Yachty. There's no Waino. This is your group. So show the world what you are. Show the world what you can do. And maybe this is the group that'll start laying the foundation for the next world championship team here in St. Louis. And again, we'll start to find out the answers to those questions starting tomorrow.
He is Chip Carey, the TV voice of St. Louis Cardinals baseball. You watch him and you see him on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. Chip, great stuff. We'll see you at the ballpark coming up tomorrow.
Okay, Matt. Thanks. Happy opening day, everybody.
That's Chip Carey joining us here on the program. We appreciate him spending a few moments with us. He'll be on the TV call. FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. How cool is that for him, by the way? A guy who was born here, spent much of his time here, left, never got the chance to go to an opening day, and then later in his life, his first opening day experience is when he's broadcasting it on TV, which is so cool, and really enjoy being able to talk with Chip for sure. All right, we'll take a break. Again, this is what we're throwing out there, and we've gotten a couple responses. Hope to get a few more. And we asked Bernie Miklas about that. The thing that I'm throwing out, the thing that you are most sure of for the 2025 Cardinals that is positive, the thing that you're most sure of that's negative, and the thing that maybe you're most on the fence on or most intrigued by or curious by of what's going to happen. And we ask you to text those in, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you text in. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or if you are watching us on the video stream, just leave the comment and we'll take a look at those. And we'll after the 7 o'clock news, we'll go through some of those. So thing you're most sure of positive, thing you're most sure of negative, and the thing you're most intrigued by, on the fence about the 2025 Cardinals. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line. Great to have you with us on opening day, home opener eve. Man, I was over at the ballpark today. They did a workout, had some other things to do, tested out our studio, all that sort of stuff. Just something about being at the ballpark. Kyle Sixt is here. Kyle, I know you were at the ballpark today doing a few things as well. Just, it's good to be back in the ballpark.
Right, and especially in the beginning of the year before opening day, it's just amazing. Juice,
you
know, it's the best.
Yeah, juices are going. You start to smell a little, you know, the full smell won't come on until tomorrow when the grills are going and, you know, there's some spilled beer around and things like that. You got to wait on that, but you could start to smell it a little bit today. It was just good. You heard the noises. You heard the crack of the bat when guys were swinging. So just it was good to be at the ballpark for sure. And again, things are gonna get really real very quickly. I have long said that this team has to get off to a good start because they are not built to cut down a deficit. And I think any of the four teams that we talk about that are very closely connected in the NL Central, so every team but the Pirates, the Pirates aren't going to be good. I don't think they're going to be very good. I think the other four teams, I can see a scenario where any of them get off to a hot start. And if there's a team that gets off to a hot start, has a really good first month of the year, all of a sudden becomes 6, 7, 8 games clear of the field, that might be enough where all of a sudden they can play 500 baseball the rest of the way, and it's going to be really tough to catch them. And I think this Cardinals team actually could get better as the year goes along. I'm bullish on some of the young guys who are at AAA and what they are going to do for this team. And let me be clear, there are going to be growing pains with young players. Clearly, there's going to be speed bumps. Quinn Matthews is going to have a bad moment in the big leagues. He's probably going to have multiple bad moments in the big leagues. These young, unproven relievers that throw gas, the Roycrofts, the guys at Memphis, like, you know, I'm Graceffo and Roby and Munoz and O'Brien, like, there's going to be moments where it doesn't look good. But if those guys can start stabilizing as legitimate dudes, That's something that's going to be really good for this team, and it's going to be fun to watch. Now, I want it to be fun to watch where the team is still competitive and the team is playing for something and these games matter and they're very much in playoff contention. I'd be lying to you if I told you I'm not Kevin Wheeler on this. You talk to Kevin Wheeler and ask him about who the backup shortstop is on Cincinnati's AAA team, he's probably going to know. Like, he is so well versed on all of it. I'd be lying to you if I could sit there and tell you what kind of guys, you know, who's Cincinnati and who's Chicago and who's Milwaukee's version of Michael McGreevy and Quinn Matthews and Rodri Munoz and Gordon Graceffo. Like, they all have them, right? So the same things might be being said in those cities about the team maybe getting better as the year goes along. I'm very bullish on what this team might look like at the end of the year with some of those guys taking big steps forward. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know where the roster spots are going to come from. I don't know any of those details. I'm really hoping that at the very least this team could tread water to start the season, that they don't have a bad start to the season, that they don't get buried, because I think they get better as the year goes along. All right, we've got a lot of comments on thing you're most sure of positive, thing you're most sure of negative, and thing you're most curious about going in the season. We'll go through a bunch of those after the 7 o'clock news. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it as we roll on with a Graybar Sports Open Line. Around this time tomorrow, we'll probably be somewhat, really, what tomorrow's Sports Open Line is going to be. We'll see how much Sports Open Line we actually get. First pitch tomorrow is at 3:15, so you would figure game in 6 o'clock, a little bit before that. Our post-game usually goes like an hour, maybe it goes a little bit longer with everything, and then we'll just kind of roll post-game right into Sports Open Line tomorrow. So we'll be doing all Cardinals tomorrow night. Hopefully, we're talking about a Cardinals victory. We'll see. I just saw a video on Twitter that was really, really cool. Pablo Lopez is going to make the start for the Minnesota Twins coming up tomorrow. And he spoke with the media earlier today. And Joey Schneider, who works over at Fox 2, he does a lot of their video content and social media content, does a really good job with it. He's got a video of Pablo Lopez talking about St. Louis and talking about Busch Stadium and just how special it is. He says when he's warming up tomorrow, he's going to be kind of keeping an eye on all the various opening day festivities and activities that are going on. So just cool to hear other people talk about that and how special being in St. Louis for opening day is. All right, so let's get to it. We've been building up to this for about an hour or so. By the way, Kyle McClellan will join us in about 15 minutes or so, and we'll talk through opening day stuff with him. You can still get in here on this, by the way, if you want to. You can text in, you can tweet in, or if you are watching on the video stream, you can just leave a comment and it comes right into us. The question that I threw out, so I'll hand it off to you now, the thing that you're most sure of from a positive, from a good standpoint, that's going to happen to the 2025 Cardinals, the thing you're most sure of from a negative standpoint, and the thing that maybe you're most on the fence on. And maybe the thing that you're most on the fence on is the thing that determines whether or not the Cardinals have a good season or not. All right, let's get into some of the comments on this. Kelly leaves a comment, says, nobody really hurt coming into the season. That's a good thing. Concerns, not having a big bopper in the lineup. I would push back on that, Kelly. I think Wilson Contreras is. If Contreras plays 150-plus games, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he could flirt with 40 home runs. I think he's for sure a 30-home run guy. So I would push back on that a little bit. As far as being on the fence, just talking about the reset and what that is going to bring this year to the team, I don't think it's going to bring much, honestly. You know, when you talk about the reset and everything that's going on, a lot of that's going on with player development, a lot of that's going on with infrastructure and data and technology. And, you know, that's the start of that is right now because they broke camp from Florida and now they're starting to redo the spring training complex where a lot of that technology is going to be housed. So we saw a little bit of it in the sense that there's more people, there's more instructors and things like that. So I think spring training was a bit more effective, but I think you're going to have to really squint hard to see what kind of impact that might have on the big league team. Let's see. Bill comes in with a comment, says most sure of Contreras and Herrera. I would agree. Less certain about Michaelis. Yeah, there's big question marks on Miles Michaelis. Jury out on Walker and Gorman. I like that. Good stuff from Bill. The text line, 314, says, I'm most concerned about the offense. Can they score enough runs? That's the thing that's going to determine whether or not this is a successful season or not. Can they score enough runs? Because last year, had they been just an average offensive club, we're talking about playoff team. They were terrible offensively last year. They were really bad at scoring runs. They were really bad at hitting with runners in scoring position. They were historically bad. That was one of the worst run scoring teams the St. Louis Cardinals have ever fielded. And despite all of that, they still won more games than they lost, were in a playoff spot for much of the year, and were in playoff contention until the very, very end when they fell out of it. So if they can take a step forward offensively this year, yeah, they're going to be a good team. They're going to be right there in playoff contention again, and maybe that's going to be enough in a bad division for them to win the division. Now, if they don't score enough runs and they didn't have a good spring, like I'm not trying to sugarcoat things here. I think they're a better offensive club than what they showed in spring training, but I'm not convinced of that. I'm not 100% sure. That's not a hill that I'm willing to die on. I look at the pieces. I was going back and forth with somebody on Twitter earlier today, and basically they were asking me, I don't know, I assume it was a guy, but I guess I actually don't know. They were asking me that why the outside world sees that, paraphrased, why the outside world sees that the Cardinals have no talent and I don't. And A, I don't think the outside world does see that. I don't think the outside world has high expectations for this team. I don't totally understand why, but I do think that I like many of the pieces on this team. I think Lars Nootbaar can be a dynamic offensive player. I think Brendan Donovan, does some things that are very, very important. Am I concerned about Mason Wynn after the spring he had? Yeah, sure. Of course I am. Is he going to have a sophomore slump? Is he going to find it? Those numbers were alarming. I'm not trying to run away from that. Contreras, I've mentioned. The Walker Gorman thing continues to be the biggest question about this team. I think Nolan Arenado is going to look better than he looked last year. How much better? I don't know. I think there's the possibility that he has a legitimate big-time bounce back, but I also think there's the possibility that he's just a little bit better. And even just a little bit better is good. If he can hit a few more doubles, if he can come up with a handful more home runs, that's going to be a big difference than what he did last year. Another text message says, I'm sure they'll win 81-82 games. Says, I'm sure my 10-year-old son, will enjoy their first home opener tomorrow. Great stuff, yeah. I am sure there's more positives in the tank for Nolan and Wilson and Sonny. So those are good things to be sure of. Glad that you're able to take your 10-year-old son to their first home opener tomorrow. This is going to sound, I'm a relatively young dad. My oldest daughter just turned 6, and then I've got a 9-month-old as well. So my oldest daughter is in kindergarten, and like tomorrow, they generally have to wear collared shirts and everything. They're a uniform school. And tomorrow it's a Cardinals day. And I'm fired up about the fact that my daughter gets to, we've got to go through and decide which one of her Cardinals shirts she's going to wear tomorrow. But there's something, I know what it meant for me growing up, being around my parents and how they helped me form a love of the game of baseball. And not that my kids have to love the game of baseball, but something like tomorrow where we get to decide which Cardinal shirt she's going to wear is a really fun thing. So I'm excited about that. Another text message from the 314. Most positive thing. When the Cardinals have a lead after 7 innings, they're going to get the W. I tend to agree with that. Even if the bullpen is not quite as good as it was last year when it was historically good, it's still going to be really good. Ryan Helsley is going to be Ryan Helsley. Jojo Romero is going to be Jojo Romero. I hope that they've got enough other guys that they can use in high leverage that they don't have to push the pedal down too much on Romero. Maybe that means they win a few more games by multiple runs as opposed to all these 1- and 2-run games like they had last year. They got to find other guys. And something that we're not talking about very much that we probably should talk about, we'll see how it all plays out. The bullpen just took a hit. The bullpen just took a hit when Matthew Liberatore went to the starting rotation. That was a key high leverage piece that's not going to be there now because he's a starting pitcher. I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm very excited about Matthew Liberatore as a starter, see what happens, what he can turn into when he gets the opportunity to be an every 5th, every 6-day starter. There's so much more value in him in that role than him in the bullpen, but there's going to be a moment where the Cardinals are leaking oil in the bullpen, and you're going to be thinking to yourself, man, I wish there was one more guy they could have who could pitch in high leverage. But Ryan Fernandez has to take a step forward. Phil Maton has to be Phil Maton. He had a short, he said he came in as ready as he's ever been, and he looked good in the couple appearances that we saw. But when you don't have a full spring training, that could impact you. What is he going to be able to do? Most negative thing says they'll hurt the development of Jordan Walker by not having a good hitter batting behind him in the lineup. That's an interesting point. I'm going to have to think through that one a little bit. Because I think they hurt the development of Walker with the way they've handled him over the last couple years, yanking him out of the lineup 2 years ago after he had that great start because they weren't happy that he wasn't hitting the ball with more loft, what they did last year when they called him up but weren't going to play him. Like, there's clearly some things the Cardinals have done that have hurt the development of Walker. His placement in the lineup and who they have behind him, I get the idea that you want him to see pitches that he can handle, so it helps to, if you can challenge him. I have to think through that. I like it when people say stuff like that because I got to think through it a little bit more. Let's see. Text, Another text message says they already have a 2-game lead over the Cubs. Yep, that's good stuff. Let's see. I'm just trying to find through some other things here. So yeah, that's the. If I missed anybody, I apologize. 618 says can't wait for tomorrow. So excited for the Cardinals. I have faith, always have. Even though folks are disparaging, not me. It is a work in progress. Another text message from the 314 says I still think the team would be better if they traded Newt, Donovan, Burleson, and Gorman for better pitching. I disagree. I would push back strongly on that one. First off, Gorman doesn't have trade value. Newt Barr has trade value, but he hasn't shown the ability to stay healthy, so you're not getting as much back for him as you would when he's staying healthy and playing at a level that his numbers would tell you that he would play at. Donovan is too important to this team, and I don't even know what the trade value would be for Burleson. Pitching is so valuable. Pitching is so incredibly valuable. I like all these guys that you mentioned. Like, this is not a hit. I'm not taking a shot at Lars Nootbaar, Brendan Donovan, Alec Burleson, and or Nolan Gorman. I like all those guys. And I think all those guys have the potential to be really good ball players. I don't think you're getting impact pitching back for any of them. The only that can change. If Lars Nootbaar stays healthy for a full season and his numbers are what the underlying numbers would say they could be, because he has the potential of being just a very dynamic, big-time bat who can do a lot of things. It was Craig Mish who, I think 3 years ago, he covers the Marlins. He said that the Cardinals, if they would have been willing to trade Lars Nootbaar 3 years ago, could have had any pitcher for the Marlins except for Sandy Alcantara. He told me that on a radio interview. I think it was on a Countdown to Opening Day show a couple years ago. So if Nootbaar gets back to that place, then yeah, he could get you something. Right now, that's not going to happen. I guess if Gorman becomes like a legit 40 home run dude, having that guy at second base, having 40 home runs coming from second base is something that could bring some value. But as it is right now, I don't think being able to trade any of those guys is going to do a whole lot for you. One more positive. Victor Scott looking really good. Negative, starting staff might be a little shaky. That comes in from Eli. I share that concern, by the way. And it's based off two guys, and it's based off the velocity. I'm concerned about Sonny Gray. I'm concerned about Andre Pallante. My concern when it comes to Gray is a temporary concern. I have very little doubt that 3 weeks, a month from now, even if he has a tough start to the season, he's going to figure it out, either by figuring out how to pitch with less velocity or finding that velocity. With Pallante, as great as he was, and I'm so happy Pallante did what he did last year in the second half of the season, and I want to see that guy back. But he doesn't have the established track record, so it is still a little bit of a question mark when it comes to him. We are going to take a break, and when we return, former Cardinals pitcher Kyle McClellan is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on opening day. We'll also get his thoughts on this Cardinals team. That's up next. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX 104.1 FM. KMOX, our third day of being on FM. We are continuing to get set for tomorrow's opening day, the home opener for the Cardinals. They match up against the Minnesota Twins. Of course, we'll have full coverage right here on KMOX as we continue the celebration of all things opening day. Very happy to welcome on to the program. He is a former Cardinals pitcher. Now you hear him hosting the Chattersbox podcast. He's our friend Kyle McClellan. Kyle, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be with you.
Yeah, I got to think every year around this time as opening day is happening, you have a lot of memories flushed back in. What are your thoughts and memories, and what stands out to you about the opening days you've been able to participate in?
Yeah, I mean, I see it from both sides. I mean, I remember going to opening days as a kid, you know, growing up here in St. Louis. So, you know, I say all the time, I had to go to school every day unless it was opening day or a playoff game. Those are the only times that, you know, if it was a day game, you could get out of school to go down at Busch Stadium. But, you know, from a fan standpoint, you know, it's just everything that starts the season off, everything you've been, you know, waiting for since last October, November, it's finally here. And then from a player standpoint, my major league debut was on opening day. here in Busch Stadium. So it was, you know, always been special to me from a player, seeing all the Hall of Famers and the Clydesdales and all the fans coming out and just to kick the season off. So it's always, you know, this is always a special time of year, and it's definitely something that I'll try to get to for as long as I possibly can, just to be a part of it and also, you know, relive some of those memories.
We take it for granted here in St. Louis, and maybe you're even the wrong person to ask this, because being from St. Louis, you knew what it was all about. But yeah, I heard some stories about guys who, you know, when they figure out they're going to be making their first opening day roster, they start asking questions. Do we really jump off trucks? Are there really Clydesdales? Like, for somebody who doesn't really know, from a player perspective, for a player who doesn't really know what all goes on opening day, what is it like as they experience it for a first time, just based off, you know, conversations you had with teammates and so forth?
Yeah, it's even hard to explain to them. You know, I mean, the guys that came from different teams or have been in the big leagues for a while but never experienced an opening day in St. Louis, I'll tell you this, we opened up, you know, in the 6 years I was a part of the big leagues, open up in a lot of different places, and nothing compares. You know, I won't name cities, but we went to some and it was like, oh, this is, you know, maybe the closest to St. Louis's opening day, and you get there and you're like, man, it's not even close. And so when you try to explain that to guys when they come over, it's just, hey, just soak it up, you know, just enjoy it. The opening day roster is a special thing because you might, you know, get quite a bit of time in the big leagues, but to make an opening day roster and be there on day one, that's a special thing, to be on that major league team out of spring training. So some of these guys enjoying it for the first time here in a Cardinals uniform, just take it all in, be a part of the festivities, kind of go out and enjoy that, and then make sure you're able to separate that when the game starts and get ready to roll. But, you know, sometimes guys, they get so caught up in the performance of the day that they don't take all that in. So you're just trying to make sure you let everybody know, take it in, enjoy it, because it's something special, and there's no guarantee you're going to be here next year for it.
There's always National Baseball Hall of Famers and Cardinal Hall of Famers who are involved in it. How important is it for young players to see those guys, to know the history of the organization and what those people mean, not just to the Cardinals, but to baseball overall?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that was one of the most special things. I mean, getting off there, and unfortunately, we've lost so many of those guys. But to get off the truck and to go out there and to see all the guys that wore the uniform and played at the highest level possible to be a National Baseball Hall of Famer, and then to be there and to be supporting us. And you just want to be a part of that. I think the Cardinals do that better than almost any other organization, to celebrate the tradition and the history of the organization and making sure that guys that are currently on the team understand what they're a part of.
Talking with former Cardinals pitcher Kyle McClone. You hear him hosting the Chatter's Box podcast, which we air sometimes here on KMOX. You can find it at all your respective podcast locations. Just talk about the team a little bit. One of the things I'm concerned about, we've seen velocity drop so far here in spring from both Sonny Gray and Andre Pallante. And it is still just spring training, and obviously things change when the big lights turn on. But is it valid to be concerned about those guys right now?
You know, I think as a whole, you got to be looking at the starting rotation to give you a shot, you know, and to give you a chance. When you have a young team, your starting rotation is going to be a big part of this. And spring training stats, I can tell you, you know, you don't put a whole lot into it. You know, I've had really good springs. I've been through, I had terrible springs. And when the season starts and the lights are on and you're facing, you know, major league hitters in different settings, a lot of things change. So, you know, the velo, you know, I know that's a big thing in today's game, but, you know, you can still pitch with hitting your spot and movement and going about it that way. So I think you got to see how the first few starts go. You know, if you're losing velocity, you're definitely going to have to be more accurate, be a little bit better on your placement of your pitches. But you can still pitch, you know, pretty successfully in the big leagues without it.
Is there any way to discern what stats in spring actually mean something and what don't?
No. You know, and I think it kind of gets in your head too. If you get down there and you're struggling, you know, you're just like, all right, just get through, get my work in, work on what I'm supposed to do. And then when the season starts, there's a different level of focus. There's a different preparation, everything that goes, it's totally different. You know, you're down in the minor leagues, you're facing guys you've never heard of. You don't know anything about them. You're still trying to build up your stamina. And so your focus is on some other things. Maybe you're working on, you know, certain things in your mechanics or whatever. And then when you get to the season, it's all about outcomes and all the other stuff goes away and you're going and just trying to do it. So from a hitter standpoint, you know, early on, they're seeing pitches, you know, maybe they're working on something. But I would say the last, you know, 7 to 10 games, you try to take it as realistic as you can. You're starting to face, you know, normal big league hitters and pitchers at that time for the most part, and get yourself ready for the season. But when you have the good ones, you put it out of your head and say, hey, you know, that was just spring training. I gotta reset. When you have a bad one, you definitely forget about it and say, hey, when I get here for the season, we're going to restart. My ERA is zero again. My batting average is zero, and I get to build from there.
We know the outside expectations for this team are not especially high, but one of the things that really struck me when I talked to guys down in spring training was the just totally ignoring that and the belief that this team can be a good club. How powerful can it be for a club, a talented club, because there's a lot of talented guys on this team? How powerful can it be when it seems like the outside world is really not expecting much out of you?
Well, I mean, you have to be. And to be honest with you, when you're in that locker room, you don't pay much attention to you. You don't care what people are saying. The bottom line is you got a job to do and you're coming in to try to get it done. And with the guys that the team's put around you, that you don't have a choice. You know, you have to show up. You have to perform. And the guys are not going in there going, you know, we're okay with being, you know, under 500 or right at 500. No, they want to win every game. You know, they're going out as hard as they can. For me, it's going to be interesting. You know, you've lost a lot of your pillars, you know, your big time names, your big time guys, your franchise guys over the last few years. So if I'm a young guy coming to this situation, I look at it as, hey, I got an opportunity where maybe a few years ago I would have been blocked by, you know, this guy or that guy. Now I get an opportunity to come up and show. And if I'm ready at the major league level, then this is going to be huge for my career and my family and everything about it. So when you get guys that are hungry to go up there and prove that they belong there, they don't belong in AAA or AA. You know, that's a powerful thing. So these guys are fighting for their careers, for their lives up there. And when you get a bunch of guys, you know, pulling in that direction, it'll be interesting to see what, you know, what they're able to achieve.
He is Kyle McClellan, former Cardinals pitcher, host of the Chatters at Box podcast. Kyle, thanks so much for the time, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again very soon down the line.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Kyle McClellan. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up. It is opening day eve. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. An opening day eve edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Got you for another 23 minutes or so. And then after that, we will have our replay of the Gas House Gang from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. If you haven't been following along with everything we've got going on here at KMOX, we made the switch over to 104.1 FM. We're still broadcasting on 1120 AM. I know a lot of people love 1120 and want to continue to listen to the station on 1120, especially people who are outside of the St. Louis metro area, and that's great. That's fantastic. That's what I grew up on. 1120 is special. It is not going anywhere. Nationwide coverage essentially at night. I tell this story all the time. I can't tell you how often, living in other places, I would tune into 1120 when I was driving around at night, especially to catch the latter portion of Cardinals games, or if the Cardinals were playing out on the West Coast, whatever it might be. So 1120 is not going anywhere, but we did have some lineup tweaks with that. You've heard us talk a lot about the Gas House Gang. It changed a bit where it is, it's not just a digital show anymore. It is a full on-air radio show. And the cast changed a little bit as well, as Chris Ranji has joined the Gas House Gang. He and Tom Ackerman and Bernie Miklas and Mike Claiborne are the four guys that you see most often on that show. Kevin Wheeler and myself, two of the, we can call ourselves founding members of the Gas House Gang, I guess you can say. We're not on it quite as often because we have the Redbird Rush Hour now, which is Kevin and myself weekdays from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. You still get your weather, you still get your traffic and everything that you want in the 5 o'clock hour, because we are still KMOX. For sure, we are still KMOX, but you get a lot of Cardinal talk during that hour as well. So hopefully you're able to enjoy it. What, you know, when you think about the voice of St. Louis, that's what KMOX is. When you think about the voice of St. Louis, what are St. Louisans talking about more than the Cardinals? This is not us all of a sudden becoming a sports radio station. This is us talking about the things that are most important to people in St. Louis. And very few things are as important to as many people in St. Louis as St. Louis Cardinals baseball. So being the home of the Cardinals, we've gone in a little bit further on that, which I think is absolutely awesome. And hopefully you've been able to enjoy it. And we've mentioned it a fair amount. We had been doing the streaming, the video streaming with the Gas House Gang every day at noon. And that's been fun because that's a little bit of a different audience. And those folks have found the KMOX Sports social media channels, and they get involved, and they watch all the time. So we'll have more of that, and we're going to put the extra inning show onto the video stream as well. So we're just trying to give Cardinals fans every opportunity in the world to hear people talk and to be involved in the conversation when it comes to St. Louis Cardinals baseball. If you miss any of it, you can always find it. We've got various podcast channels available to you. We've got a Gas House Gang channel. Our Cardinals Conversations channel is fantastic. So all that is available wherever you find your podcast, of course, on the Odyssey app as well. I want this to be a mostly positive show today because opening day, home opener, this is the time to be positive. We got 162 of these things coming up, right? And there's going to be some bad moments, some bad games, some bad weeks. Hopefully there's not bad months, but it's not out of the conversation. There's no guarantee that this is going to be a perfect type situation for the Cardinal. Like, there's going to be some adversity. There's going to be some speed bumps, and we'll see how much of it there is. So when it's opening day, I try to be more positive. I try to focus on the good things, and we'll get around to all the other stuff here as we need. And I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here. We've talked about this with just about everybody who's been on the show today. I am concerned and curious all at the same time what starting pitching is going to... I think there's going to be chapters to the starting pitching this year for the Cardinals. And I think this first chapter is... There's three things that jump out at me. And this first chapter is only going to last a few weeks because I think we turn the page on the rotation when you get to, what is it, April 16th, and they go to a six-man rotation. So the conversation changes a little bit once you go to a six-man rotation. But it's going to be a five-man rotation with all the days off here for a while. And when guys struggle in spring, I asked Kyle McClellan earlier, like, how do you discern what matters and what doesn't matter in spring? Because we've all seen it. Like, anybody who watches this game, anybody who's followed along with this game has seen it a million times where somebody has a terrible spring and they're fine the moment the regular season gets started. And somebody has an amazing spring and then they just can't do anything once the regular season gets started. I was thinking about this the other day. So Jake Woodford just got signed to a minor league contract by the New York Yankees. He was on a minor league deal with the Rockies. He had an opt-out. He chose to use the opt-out. He has signed another minor league deal with the Yankees because if you're going to be on a minor league deal, who would you rather be with, the Rockies or the Yankees? Yankees, clearly. So he's going to go to Scranton Wilkes-Barre, the Yankees AAA affiliate, will either work as a starter or as a long reliever. He had 2 years ago, he was the best pitcher for the Cardinals in spring. He was fantastic. He looked as good as any pitcher in all of Major League Baseball in spring training. And the moment the regular season got started, he didn't even have a little bit of a bump at the beginning. It was bad from the start. And he earned a job. He did everything that you need to do in spring, and he just didn't have it. And he has been with multiple teams since then. He's got like a career 8 ERA in the big leagues. He's never been able to put it together. I'm not trying to make this a Jake Woodford beat-up session, but it's a really good example of sometimes spring training stats just simply do not matter. Because Jake Woodford looked like he was ready to be a breakout player for the Cardinals, and then all of a sudden the stats started mattering and the big lights turned on, and it just wasn't there. So sometimes things matter. Sometimes things don't matter. It's really, really hard to figure out what matters, what doesn't matter. And I do think in situations like that, it is important to look at some of the underlying stuff beyond just the baseball card numbers and figure out what's leading to something and also have information. If you know that a guy is working on something specifically, if it's a pitcher and they say, you know what, I got to get this pitch right, so I'm just going to go out and throw this single pitch over and over and over and over and over and over and get a feel for it. If that's what they're doing and they're getting rocked, well, that's fine because they're trying to get themselves ready. So when it comes to Sonny Gray, you look at the reasons behind the struggles to start the year. And that's where my concern comes from. And my concern is not a long-lasting concern. I keep repeating this over and over and over, and I'm not trying to be annoying about it. But it's important to, when you have a concern, but it's a temporary concern, it's important to say it's a temporary thing. I have no doubt that Sonny Gray is going to get things figured out this year. He's too good. I think his velocity likely emerges as the year goes along. He was behind in spring, just coming off last season, being a little bit banged up at the end of the year. Dealt with some illness right at the end of spring training, right at that point that you're hoping that velocity starts to tick up a little bit. So I think the velocity is going to come back a bit. I don't know if it's going to get, you know, he lost basically a mile per hour last year compared to the year before. So maybe he loses another tick this year as he gets older. But I don't think he's going to lose five ticks. I don't think that's going to be where he's at. But in the short term, what does Sonny Gray look like? I don't know. And I think it's a legitimate thing to be cognizant of. I'm not quite to the point of, I guess, worry, but maybe I am worried. I can see a scenario where it takes Sonny Gray a little while to get things going. And I don't know what that's going to look like tomorrow. The good thing about all of this is he is well aware of where he's at, and I'm sure he has put together a game plan on how he wants to attack hitters when he does not have the velocity that he's had previously. But if we're already doing keys to the game for tomorrow's home opener, that's it for me. Like I want to watch Sonny Gray pitch, and I want to see, assuming that the velocity is not all the way back, and I think that's a safe assumption for tomorrow's game. Assuming that he is not sitting there with a ton of velo tomorrow, what does it look like as he pitches? And he is a pitcher. He is a guy who can be a tactician at times, and that's a big part of what he's going to need to be able to do, because the numbers just weren't there in spring. The numbers just were not there this year in spring. We're at a 12.56 ERA, 14 and a third innings, gave up a good number of home runs, gave up 8 home runs in the 14 and a third innings, had a few games where, you know, he was lifted and then re-entered, as you're able to do in spring training, all that stuff. So that's a key for tomorrow. That is a big key. And the other key for me is how many of these hitters that struggled in spring were actually just kind of working on things. Does Mason Winn have it in him just to basically revert back to who he was last year? Because he went to spring, and rightfully so, he went into spring working on things. You know, pitch selection was a really, really big thing for him on what to swing at and what not to swing at, because, you know, that limits strikeouts and it also limits your bad contact. So there, you know, it was an anecdote early on in spring where he was pretty fired up when he was able to draw a walk, but the numbers were bad. You can make the argument. I don't even think you have to make the argument. It's true. Wynn had, from an offensive standpoint, the worst spring of any player and who we expect to be in the everyday lineup this year for the Cardinals. He was 4-for-50, an .080 average, and he struck out 16 times in those 50 at-bats over 17 games. Didn't slug at all. All 4 of his hits were singles. Didn't get on base. His on-base percentage was .145. I guess he kind of almost doubled his batting average to on base because he drew 4, you know, he had 4 hits and 4 walks. But you get the point of what I'm trying to say here. So does it just click for him because the big lights are on? For Nolan Arenado, is he able to continue to take what he was working on in the offseason and really start to implement it here? Because at the beginning of spring, Arenado looked great. The numbers started to fall back, but I think if you watched his at-bats, you still felt good about where he was at. The underlying numbers with bat speed look good. The bat speed started to slow down a bit in spring. We talked about this yesterday on the show. Where is that going to finish at? Is that going to be something that is going to challenge him again this year? Was that a temporary bump, but the the grind that is playing baseball every day kind of slows that down again? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that question, but that's another question that we will see get answered here in the early going of the season. One more break. We will come back, and we're going to wrap up this final show that we have prior to opening day, which is tomorrow. We'll have coverage all day long right here on your home for the Cardinals, 104.1 FM KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left in this opening day eve edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Man, we've got you covered. We have you covered tomorrow for Cardinals opening day. This is the way things are going to go. We're going to get things started bright and early with Total Information AM. Of course, Tom Ackerman, a big part of that. We are going to, and Tom's also going to be over later on in the morning. He'll be over at Ballpark Village and Cardinals Nation doing the game day breakfast, where he's got the conversation with Vince Coleman. That's not for air, so hopefully you've already gotten your tickets for that. Tickets not available for that anymore, so hopefully you've been able to get your way in, because that's going to be pretty darn cool. Kegs and Eggs going to get started. Chris and Amy are going to be a big part of that, obviously. And lots of folks are scheduled to be on the program during Kegs and Eggs tomorrow. You'll hear more from Chip Carey, who joined us earlier. Cardinals team president Bill DeWitt III. We'll hear from Cardinals Spanish broadcast, Spanish language broadcasters Benji Molina and Polo Asensio. John Rooney, Ricky Horton will make their annual appearance at Kegs and Eggs. So that's all going to be broadcast live on the radio. Kevin Wheeler, Dave Glover, they are going to take over at 12 o'clock. They're going to talk with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. Also, former players Tom Lawless, Scott Cooper are expected to be over there. They'll probably pop on. You never know who else might pop on, who might be walking through, what it's going to look like. It's always crazy on opening day, and that's all going to be originating from Cardinals Nation Restaurant and Bar. Dave and Kevin, they'll take it to about 1:35. That's when I'll take over with the Cardinals Radio Network pregame show. We're going to do the standard pregame show like you would normally hear, and that's going to go until just about 2:20, and then that's when things are going to begin on the field. So we'll hand things off to the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, along with Ricky Horta and Mike Claiborne, and they are going to anchor it from there, but we'll have everything that's going on the field. You'll be able to hear it on the Cardinals Radio Network and right here on KMOX. Game gets over. We'll still have your coverage. We'll do the standard network post-game show. We'll do the extra inning show. We'll do Sports Open Line. We'll do it all the way till 8 o'clock later if we need to. So we've got a full day. We've got a full day of Cardinals coverage tomorrow. You do not want to go anywhere. Thanks so much for being tuned in to the program this evening. Those 2 hours just absolutely flew by once again as we get ready. One of my favorite shows of the year, opening day eve. Great to be able to talk to you. We'll talk Cardinals baseball a lot over the next 6 months and beyond right here on KMOX.